I just want to summarize very quickly what we did last time, so that we can continue. The pasuk of Eilech Yomim b'yimina b'smayla oishu b'chavad, which we say very often concerning Torah, b'yimin what and b'smol what? Torah. So it sounds very much like the Gemara is adding to our understanding, but the pasuk pshat, the way we look at the pasuk is positive from beginning to end, meaning that Torah is like in the center, and to the right and to the left are the benefits of Torah. So one of them is Eirich Yamin, the other one is Eishu B'chav. In the Gemara and in the Midrashim, you have a clear understanding that we are mistaken. It isn't evenly balanced that Eirich Yamin and Eishu B'chav are both rewards, but that it is almost like a choice, because it depends what kind of learning it was. Was it Lishma or Shaloi Lishma? And again, the Shaloi Lishma that we are talking about is not a negative Shaloi Lishma mikol v'chol, a totally negative Shaloi Lishma, where the person is simply using Torah as a weapon, because that doesn't have any of these rewards. In fact, it's Pumfaket. That person is Yairish Gehenna. But what is the Shaloi Lishma that we're talking about? Not Lishma. So where is it Lishma? Where is it Shaloi Lishma? The person wants to have the covet of being called a Rosh Hashiva, but he's teaching Torah Fenemes, and he's learning Torah Fenemes. So such a Shaloi Lishma is still not the Madrega that we are looking for, but it is still some Madrega. And that Madrega is not called Sam HaModes. In the Torah, Zois HaTorah Sheh Sam Moshe Lepnei Bnei Yisrael, this Torah is called Sam. Sam could be Sam Refuah, and Sam could be Sam HaModes. I just want to add one thing, by the way, that I didn't mention last time, and it's just a short ha'ara about this idea of Torah being a sam refuah. You have to understand that a sam sometimes can taste bitter also, you should know. Now, there are many opportunities to learn Torah which are glorious, which are exciting, which are fascinating, which are sweet and wonderful. But there are times that you get bogged down, and there are circumstances in a person's life where it's actually difficult to learn Torah. It requires an extraordinary concentration in difficult moments. If Torah was a delight in the normal sense of enjoying a nice piece of chocolate without any consequences, then we would not have a Gemara, Rebbe Mechayev, Rebbe Elazar ben Chasam Mechayev Ashirim, Hillel Mechayev Aniyim, Yosef HaTzadik is Mechayev Rishoyim. You see that it's not always so simple. So the Torah, when it's called Sam, it's also called Sam HaChayim, but it isn't anything different than a sam that tastes bitter sometimes. You take something, the refuah, it may save your life, but while you're taking it, it might taste bitter in the mouth. So what the pasuk is telling me, bevas achas, that Torah is not only an elixir of life, but that elixir sometimes could taste bitter also. Lav dafka, that it always tastes sweet. And apple pecan, you should know that it's the elixir of life. So the sam of the chaya, but Torah can also be chas v'sholem sam of the moisa. And that is the totally negative kind of learning Torah. Getting back to the pasuk, so the way the Gemara understands the pasuk has a plus and a little bit less than a plus. And that's b'yamina and that's b'smayla. So the question is, doesn't the pasuk say two separate things? So that means the plus is losing out on the other side? No. Because what the pasuk really means is as if the pasuk was written as follows. If you learn Torah Lishma, you get Eirich Yamin plus Eishu B'chavad. If you learn Torah Shaloi Lishma, you'll get Eishu B'chavad, but you won't get Eirich Yamin. The Vilna Gaon goes one step further and explains that if Eirich Yamin was only Ba'olam Hazeh, then the comparison of Eirich Yamin and Eishu B'chavad is kemat balanced, because they are both Ba'olam Hazeh. So that he says no. He says Eirich Yamin means L'yayim Shekuloi Aruch. It means Yezoicha Techai Yoylam Abba. And the pshat is as follows. If the Torah is perfect, and the reason that you're learning Torah is the nitzchius of the Torah, so even though you yourself are a basav adam, and you yourself are rooted and anchored in Olam Hazeh because you are Gashmi, nevertheless, that Gashmius is not going to prevent you, because you learned Lishma, from being zeiche to a Torah that is nitzchi, and rewards which are nitzchi as well. However, if you learn Shaloi Lishma, meaning that even though you're learning something nitzchi, but you're seeking to get out of it something that is inherently gashmi, namely kavod. Kavod is a ruchniyistika thing of Olam Hazeh. It's not an Olam Haba thing yet. It's ruchniyistic, covered. It's like a very ephemeral, very, very, you know, transcendent thing. You can't eat it. I remember I once told you that somebody got up once in the yeshiva, they were giving him a big honor, and the first, a very wealthy man who gave a lot of money to the yeshiva, and they gave him a big honor, and he said, he doesn't understand why you don't make a bracha, a birchas hanen in uncovered, it's so gishmak. So he sees that as a physical hanah, you know. But you know, lesser people like us, we look at covet as of something a little bit more spiritual. But it's anchored in Olam Hazeh. It's in Olam Hazeh. So Oishav Chavod you get as a reward because you tainted Ke'ilu, the learning. It wasn't totally Nitzchi because you had that Shalom Lishma of covet. But if Lu Yitzuya, you abandon all personal interests and you learn Mamish L'Shem Shamayim, and because there's a mitzvah of learning Torah, it's mechaber you to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a special way, and it's Hashem's word, then the reward has to be nitzchi as well. It cannot confine itself to Gashmi. So the Gemara says, you'll get the Gashmi anyhow, but you'll get the nitzchi of Olam Haba. I wanted to add one more point. I believe I made it in the past, but it pays to mention it again and again. The Ribbono Shel Olam, if he wants to benefit a person, will only benefit him if it's good for him, and he will not benefit him if the person thinks it's a benefit when Hashem knows it's not really good for him. And I pointed out that sometimes Oishu and Chavod is the exact opposite of what a person needs at that time, or in his life in general. And one of the Rishonim said on the Pasuk, Tzadik Ne'ezov V'Zaru Mevakesh Lochem, I never saw, Loi Ra'isi. So he says, what are you talking about? You have plenty of people that Zara Mavakish Locha. In fact, they come to the shul every night. But Lamaisa, if you have a stira, how do you reconcile that to the Pasuk? So he says, no. He says, if the purpose and destiny of that person requires Aisha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide it no matter what. Even if he's the biggest Lamazel, he'll win the lottery or something. But sometimes a person's destiny and his personal need is what? Poverty, exactly. He must have poverty. If he doesn't have the poverty, it's going to ruin his life or it's going to ruin his Avodas Hashem. You know, very famous Chassidish Rebbe that came to the Maggid of Mezrich and he sat down there by the oven, total abject poverty with Yisurim Noroyim, and he was Avodas Hashem. His name was the Rebbe Reb Zisha. Someone came afterwards and he wanted to learn the Midah of Bitachon. Bitachon in Hashem. So the Mezritch Maggid said, just sit next to this person and from him you'll learn the Midah of Bitachon. He sits there and he sits there, so the story goes. And finally Reb Zisha notices somebody's there for days on end. He asks him, who are you and what do you want? Why are you always sitting next to me? So he told him the whole story, that the Maggid, the Rebbe, said that I should sit next to you for Midas Bitochen. So he answered him, Midas Bitochen, you're going to learn from me? I have everything. How could you learn Midas Bitochen from me? So that's what the Rebbe wanted him to hear, that a person can have a soga that doesn't even have Bitochen, because I hot the chalz with the Ebesh to Daphim Geb, which is ultimately the ultimate Bitochen that there is. Because you see, Bitochen, you have to keep talking. If you're mesupik, if you vakelzach, if you shake a little bit, if the ground is shaking under you, then you have to keep saying, no, I have bitochen, I have bitochen. But when the ground is not shaking because you have so much bitochen, then you don't even realize that you're coming onto the meat of bitochen. It's an ultimate madrega. In this idea of Erech Yamin Bimina Bismillah Shvachavit, again, the Ribon Shem's not going to reward a person for learning Torah with a patch and punin. And therefore, it has to be that it's good for him. If that's not good for him, lahefta. And it's very often not good for a person. So that's what the Rishon said from the Cheder of the Ramban. If your Avoda requires poverty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not mess you up by giving you Ashiras. And there are certain people whose Avoda themselves and whose Chinuch for others around them requires Dafka, a Doichak, and an Oini. And learning Torah mitoichat chak, as we shall see in a moment, might even be a tremendous plus in its own right. So why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu mess up that person's learning and make his learning now suddenly a learning mitoicha oisher, which is a different kind of learning altogether. Also, we mentioned, and I just chazer it over before we continue with the Kli Yakar, that the Netziv in his Tshuva Meshiv Dover mentions a very interesting insight. It's a Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Vav. You have it in your notes already. We did it last time, and I don't want to read it again. I just want to make the main point that he says. He says that there are two kinds of negatives that kavod and the seeking of kavod could produce, but one is infinitely worse than the other. One of them is, I want to be mechubad, and I have these negiyas, but all I'm doing is saying over a Mishnah or a piece of Gemara. So you can't say that he's fakrimming the Gemara if he's repeating it verbatim. You can't say that he's fakrimming a Mishnah and he's making it crooked and he's misunderstanding it and undermining its Torah if all he does is repeat a Mishnah. Because he's not saying anything more than what the text of the Mishnah says already. So no matter what his ulterior purposes are, his conveying of the Torah will not be ruined by his midos. Masha'en came if he's interpreting Torah and paskening shailos and involving his personality in the Torah that he's teaching, then what his personality is all about is critical, because he can very well destroy the emes because he introduces the negiyos that his redifas hakavod or hamamon or whatever it is involved. So he's talking to this fellow who passed in the shaila about his own matzav, which he should never do anyhow, because you always have a negiyah, but they pass in the shaila, and it's clear from the way he's presenting the whole story that all he's interested in is his own kavod. So he says to him, how could you possibly paskin when you know very well that that redifas hakavod is bound to fakrum you, and it is the worst kind of shaychad? So how can you trust your own understanding and your own presentation? So he says that that's what Chazal mean, that it's a sama de moisa. When does it become a sam of mavis? So remember, he asked the question that everybody asks. Here it says that the Torah becomes sama mavis. There it says that you should learn Torah shaloi lishma, because mitach shaloi lishma bo lishma. If it's right away at the beginning, shaloi lishma sama mavis, how could it be? So he says everybody else answers the answer that we gave earlier, that it depends what the shaloi lishma is. Like Tosfos says, if the shaloi lishma is a true negative, then it's sama mavis. If it's just kind of like a tranquil negative, like not such a terrible negative, but it's still tainted by his own, you know, needs and desires, so then it's called shaloi lishma. And what they're saying in Chazal is that once he learns, the Torah hamor sheba machzira lamutav will improve him. Will improve him. He says, no, I have another text. When is it sama mavis and when is it lo lishma? So he says, if you have your negiyas while you're learning and you're only learning Torah for yourself and you're learning Torah that's written, or you're teaching others Torah that's written, that's already there, and you're just chazering it over, it's not going to be a problem, and sooner or later it'll become lishma anyhow. But if you're teaching Torah, and you're interpreting Torah, or you're paskening shailos, and you have all these personal negiyas, it's inevitable that the negiya will interpret the Torah the wrong way, and will distort what you are giving over as a psak halacha, and the mela, what's going to happen, is called sam hamavis. And Zois HaTorah says some Moshe that it's Sama de Moshe.
What's Negiyah? What is Negiyah?
Negiyahs are, I mean, it's a vested interest that makes the person incline his mind and his thinking for his benefit in that direction. A Negiyah means that I'm touching something. That's Negiyah, right? Yeah. So Negiyah means I'm touching something, means I have a vested interest. I'm holding on to something and it doesn't allow me to balance myself out. It's like I'm leaning to this direction, so I'm touching it. That's why it's called negiyah. That's what's called negeya bedavar. So learning, if you're learning a text, you could be learning it because, I'll give you an example. I'm giving a shir right now. Now, why am I giving the shir? I often ask myself that question. So what's the answer? So you could have a lot of it. One answer could be, because that's what I think the Ribbono Shel Olam put me on this earth for. That's fine. Another answer is because there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the mitzvah is Lilmoy Ulalamet. Fine. Another answer could be, because I want to get my picture into the newspaper. That's not so fine. But it's not harming anybody. You understand? especially if my havamin is that eventually they'll call me in that good of the convention to give the keynote speech. You understand? That's not the end of the world. It's not so terrible, but it's not pure. And then it could be because I want to hurt people. I want to be able to lord it over people. I want to be able to step on their heads. That's already terror. But he's saying that it's not that continuum of perfect, not so perfect, terrible. He says, you could be doing the exact same thing. In other words, it could be that I want covet. I want my picture in the papers. But what am I doing to get my picture in the papers makes the difference according to the Netziv. If I'm simply sitting with people and teaching them Mishnayos and saying with dramatic effect or whatever it is, exactly what it says in the Bartanura, nothing more, nothing less. That's fine. It's not perfect. And it's called Shaloi Lishma, but it's not Sam HaModes. But if I am telling you that this is the Psak HaLocha, when, I'll give you a perfect example. I mean, it's a funny example, it's a perfect example. People come to me every Shabbos after my drasha, and they say, Rabbi, you have to find a way of recording it. If you last Shabbos, I said, you know, you're not going to get anything from me. Find some good conservative rabbi, maybe he'll help you. And then you'll come back and we'll talk about it. But Maisa, in this kind of Psak HaLocha, what if I would come and say, you know, I think it's perfectly fine to start a recording before Shabbos, just like they have these tapes for Ganovin, that they have a constant record of 24/7 of what's going on in the bank or in the store. So we'll have such a tape. Doesn't have to be video. Audio is good enough for me. And have it running the whole Shabbos, and nobody knows. It's not a chil. It's not visible. It's not Ashva Milsa, you know, it doesn't make a noise, it doesn't make a tumult. Nobody even knows that it's there, it's somewhere like, you know, a hidden thing. And then after Shabbos, we cut out all the rest of the day, you know, and maybe except for the Chazonis or something. We'll get an extra bonus out of it. We have some very good Balut Kula here. And that is going to be my Psak HaLocha. So you understand, how could I pass in a Shaila like that? I want that these things should be recorded. I would love to have a record of my drushas on Shabbos. So there's already a negiyah. I have a vested interest in that. And naturally, that kind of a shaila. You think I'm worthy of paskening a shaila like that? That's a shaila that if I had to ask such a shaila, if it was negiyah or something, I would ask Reb David Feinstein. And if the world had to ask, they would ask Rebbe Yashub. There's no question about it. And I imagine he would say no. I imagine. I mean, you know, I would be shocked out of my wits if anybody would say yes. But that's not my Asik. I don't pass in Shilas on that level. It's not my Asik, because these are world-class Shilas that are not negaya me and my particular situation. And it's not an emergency that I have to answer because I can't tell him, you know, he has a Shilas with the chont or this or that or whatever. I can't tell him, wait till after Shabbos and you call up Rebbe Yashin. That's good for next week. But what am I supposed to do now? So either you tell him, I don't know, or you tell him a psak. But passing the chont and passing such a Shilas, the distance is miles and miles apart. If you have the negiya, the tendency of a person is to follow his negiya. And I'll tell you something else, very interesting. The Pasuk says three things against that Dayanim have to watch out for. The Dayanim have to watch out for. In the Pasuk of Shoftim, Shoftim Tibachot Sharecha, Bechulu Bechulu, right? Loisata Mishpat. Don't turn the Mishpat in this direction or in another direction. Loisakir Ponim. Don't show preferential treatment to anybody. The Gvir comes in and the Nebuch, the Push, Lamazel that nobody cares about comes in. Don't give preferential treatment actually to either one, but to the Gvir. Then it says, V'loi sikach shoychad, the third thing, don't take a bribe. Legabe shoychad, the Torah feels compelled to give a reason. Ki ha-shoychad ye'aver einecha chomim v'saleif divrei tzadikim. Why, I ask, does the Pasuk need to give a reason for number three and not for number one and number two? So you know what the answer is? When somebody is mata the din, he knows that he's being mata the din. He's an evil judge who wants that the truth should be usurped by whatever it is that's his benefit. When a person shows preferential treatment, the reason it's called preferential treatment is because it's clear that one person is higher and one person is lower, either in social status or in money or whatever it is. Or he may be my friend, or maybe my business partner, whatever it is. And I know that I'm giving him preferential treatment. I know that I'm giving him the edge. But I want to. I want to corrupt the din. In Shoychad, what Shoychad does is it convinces you that you're not going to corrupt the din anyhow. Somebody gave me a present. That's not going to affect my judgment. Of course, when it comes into Bezdin, in both of Yulif and Mechlik and Rishayim, v'chulu v'chulu, you're not going to be treated differently. So the Torah has to warn you, the minute you get that present, you're so blind that you don't even chat that you're making a negiyah consequence in the din. You think you won't have a negiyah. You'll think that the present is here, and the din is here, and they have nothing to do with each other. That's why Chazal was so makbid, that even the smallest thing, he helped him find a parking space in the morning. He can't pass in the shul in the afternoon, if it's a din Torah between two people. That's why, when you have a negiyah, this is not in Beis Din, but he had a whole asik with the people around him, and he ferreted out whatever Gemara, whatever Shulchan Aruch, whatever this or that, to prove his point, and he sent out letters to all the Talmidei Chachamim. And obviously, if he sent out those letters, he thought that he was totally in the right. So the Nitziv says to him, not only are you totally in the wrong, but look what you did. You're paskening shailus, and you're thinking that you are in the right, al pi halacha. At least somebody comes and says, maybe I'm not in the right, but this is what I want. I can't handle you people. I have to throw you out. And I don't want you to malign me and to slander me, so I'm going to take the first initiative to damage your reputation before you damage mine. So at least we know where we're up to. We know what the stakes are, and we know what the score is. But he didn't do that. He says, what are you talking about? These are all a bunch of Rishonim. Look what the Gemara says. Look what the Shulchan Aruch says. So he says, you can tell me what the Shulchan Aruch says? With that negiyah, with that animosity, with that corruption in your heart, you can tell me what the Gemara says? He's not quoting a Gemara. He's interpreting a Gemara. He says, when you interpret a Gemara with ulterior motives, it's called Sam HaMavis. It's a very beautiful Ha'ara. Beautiful Ha'ara. The Kli Yoka says a very interesting Rezat, that to tell you the truth, before I saw the Kli Yoka once upon a time, I never noticed it myself. He says, in the Parsha of the Oren, that's presented in the Torah in Parsha's Truma, where it says you should make an Oren, every letter of the Aleph Beis is there, except for a Gimel. There's no Gimel in that Parsha, in those Psukim, but making the Oren, there's no Gimel. So he writes like this. He writes, there are three parshiyos, one after the other. Oren, Shulchan, and Menorah. Yeah? So he says that they are koilo kol hatzlochus ha'adam ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba. He says this encompasses the entire success of the human being, whether it's here or in the world to come. Right? Ki ha'oren niska tchila, the fishu madrich es ha'odom lovoi lidei shleimusai. Ki ba'meh yizke na'ar orchoi, v'yikach shein v'yefes mibnei adam. It's such a beautiful expression. It says in the pasuk, v'yikach shein v'yefes es ha'simla. So he says he should get shein, meaning a good reputation, shein toi v'yefes, and he should be beautiful. V'yikach shein v'yefes mibnei adam. The samo de chaya ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba. It's like he's saying nimtza chen b'seichel tov be'ein elokim ba'adam. He's talking about yefes like yefas toya, yofe. But he's saying he'll get shein ba'yefes means he'll get a beautiful reputation in the eyes of people, and he'll also be zeiche from Hashem to olam haba. So that's the yikat shein ba'yefes. That's the way they used to write. You know, it's very beautiful actually. The samo de chaya ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba. So the only way to do that, key in, how do you get to that? Al yidei zayis ha-Torah, she'aruch yamin b'mina la'olam shekulay aruch. You see, it says the same as the Gra, li'olam shekulay aruch, v'ayishu v'chavit b'smayla ba'olam hazeh. V'hinei b'parshas oren l'niskar ki'im etzem ha-maisa she'yasa odam, avol l'niskar sham shum tagmul. In the parash of the oren, it doesn't tell you anything about a reward, it just says what you're supposed to do. Mitam zeh timtza b'parshas ha-oren kol oisiyos min alfa besa chutz min gimel. Because gimel is a remez to gmul. Gimel means reward. So aleph, base, but not gimel. V'yesh b'zeh remez shelo yilmud Torah l'shem tashlum gmul. He should never learn Torah for the sake of the truth. I mean, except for the sake of the truth. Never for any ulterior purpose. No reward. I'm learning Torah l'shem Torah. Ela Torah's emes yeh b'fiv she'eno mitzapel l'shashlum gmul. He He says, it's like interesting how he looks at it. He says, if you're supposed to have the whole Aleph Beis, what happened to the Gimel? So he says, the Gimel is written all over that parasha. Because if you're looking for an outside Gemul, then you have to have the letter Gimel. But what this pasuk is teaching you is that you should never look for the outside Gemul. The reward is the thing itself. So you don't need a Gimel. Because the Gimel is all in all the Aleph Beis letters, in the whole parasha of Aron, of Torah, there is Gimel. It's exactly what Rav Aaron said about to that lawyer, that the difference between Yisachar and Zvulun is Yisachar has Olam Hazeh. Yisachar has Olam Hazeh. And everybody that has a Gishmak in learning, he understands. There's no chocolate, and there's no other Hana, including Hanas that we can't talk about, that is doimit to the Hana of finally understanding a difficult Taisvus. You just have to have, you have to be there. But once you're there, you realize that there is no other Hana in the world. There's no other Hana. It has all of the elements of discovery and excitement, but even the secular discovery and excitement, science and everything else. Why? Can't match Torah. Because Torah in the end binds you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as I said many times, the Shekhinah comes to you and embraces you. So how could you have a Hana better than that? Even in Olam Hazeh. So you don't need any other rewards. All other rewards pale to insignificance. The only place where there could be a reward is a reward in Olam Haba. But even that you don't have to look for, because the Gemul is built in Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. And Torah Lachas Kama V'Kama. That's what he says. So it's really a very beautiful Yisoy. The Akedas Yitzchak of Rabbi Yitzchak Arama in Shar Samach Zayin also makes this this point, and I wanted to emphasize it. He says, if you ask, is Oisha B'Chavid a value or not? So we mentioned there's so many places where Oisha B'Chavid is mentioned in a positive. So what is it? Is it a positive or is it not a positive? So the Akedas Yitzchak makes it very clear. It depends where and when. And that, he says, is the difference between Yomin and Smoil. He reminds me, before we look into it, he reminds me of a Maisa Shahaya that they say over from Reb Chaim Volozhiner when he was in Shiva Volozhin, and he saw that the Talmidim were sitting around on Shabbos schmoozing. And he felt that it was a sikha b'teila. So he says, better if you're not learning, you want to rest, better you should go to sleep. And v'haraya, Shabbos is Rosh Teves, Shena b'Shabbos Tainug. That the pleasure of Shabbos is to sleep. And in fact, you know that the Ari HaKadosh, it says, v'shenas tzoharayim. Right? Shenas Tzoharayim is a terrible thing. So Ari HaKadosh used to sleep on Shabbos in the afternoon, and apparently on Shabbos it's Pumfakel. So from a purely Balabatisha point of view, it gathers your strength, even though the Halacha says that you're not supposed to sleep on Shabbos with the intention that therefore you'll be able to do your work Motzai Shabbos. But if you understand the Maila of Shabbos, that it's Yom Menucha, so a person is entitled to his rest, and it's a special thing to sleep on Shabbos. So he said to them, go to sleep. Sheina b'Shabbos Tainuk. So one of the wise characters from the Talmidim said, maybe it means Sicha b'Shabbos Tainuk. So he says to him, Alecha hakosuv oimer, leiv chacham limin, the leiv ksil l'smoil. If you put the pintala on the shin on the right side, then it's shit. If you put the pintala on the left side, it's a sin. And therefore, if you say sicha, that's leiv ksil l'smat. The Akedas Yitzchak says, it says, Eirich yamin b'yamina, b'smayla, Eishe b'chad. What if, chas v'shalom, it's the other way around? What if it's Eirich yamin the smiler will be a mina Aisha b'chavad in your mentality, in your perception, then it's a disaster. And that's because you put the pintala, so to speak, in the wrong place. If your goal is to turn the tafel into an ikar, if your goal is to turn the support into the essence, then you fakrim the whole Torah. If, however, you acknowledge that all it is support, then it's good. That's what he says. Take a look. Second line of that Kedas Yitzchak. Hinei ki oruch hayomim lo'olam shekuloi toiva oruchu ha-mechuvan mimena be'etzem v'lishayna. Ka'alkein yichas oysom el hayamin. Whatever is ikar is on the right side. Shehu ha-tzad ha-yoser atzmi el ha-odam. It's more essential to the person. Vascholas t'noosav. And that's the first thing that he reaches out for is with his right hand. V'chol tashmishav. Omna! Ha-oysha v'ha-chavoy im shehem dvarim ikariyim be'enei roiv ha-noshim. Ha-roitfim acha ha-kinyonim ha-medumim. Even though the whole world may think that it's the ikar. But you should know that the pasuk is meyachesed to the smile, right? Hineu yichesed some el ha-smile, it should mean. It's a mistake. Loima, ki im heim tzayrich ma el ha-tzlochas ha-nefesh v'toymchim, and they are supporting ha-oysher, u-meyapim also, and they make it more pleasant, k'moysher oyzeres ha-smile el ha-yamin, like the left hand supports the right, mikol makoyim ha-tzlochas ha-nefesh hu ha-ikar, what's the point? Even in the temporal things, even in things that are gashmiistic, you need them sometimes, but you should understand that the taklis is to the yamin. The tachlis is to the ultimate. V'hu ha-shleimus ha-amiti, amnum ha-ksil, hu ha-fech zeh. Sha-filu k'she-yidrash v'yosur b'chochme me'ach-chochmois. He says the ksil is the exact opposite. He turns the yamin into smol, and the smol he turns into yamin. So the Torah that he learns, or whatever else he does, is all for ulterior purposes. What can he benefit here in Olam HaZeh from it?
You
remember Bnei God and Bnei Reuven when they spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he corrected them when he repeated what they were saying. They said, "Gidrois tzayin nivna lemiknenu, v'arim letapenu." We'll first build pens, big enclosures for our animals to be protected, and then we will build cities for our children. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Benu lochem orim l'tapchem u'gederos l'tzonachem." He switched it around because he says, "What are you talking about? You're putting your animals before your children?" I point this out, by the way, over and over again. It doesn't really help much. I don't know why, but we have this incredible tendency. I know, I'm serious. A person can spend 2 hours finding a slightly better deal on an airline ticket or where to stay in a hotel by checking one against the other and one against the other. It comes to the chinuch of his Rebbe. He may not know the name of the Rebbe that his child has altogether. Never mind, try to speak to the Rebbe from time to time. You come to a PTA meeting and the teacher says, I sent the notes every month to Gedonishtig. You know, we have this promise. He says, he never saw the notes. He says, "Yeah, I signed the notes. Didn't you get the notes back?" He doesn't even chap what he's saying. "What do you mean? I didn't send you to sign the note. I sent you to look at the note. Bima, I didn't in the note. The signature is to show that you looked at it. And what are the consequences of that supposed to be? That you called a Rebbe or you called a Menahel and you get to work on your child?" It's not a volume. And the most sophisticated inyonim, we are mevatel and mezalzel mikol v'chol. Why? The teretz is because it's gashmius, and to save a dollar, we understand. And ruchnius, if somebody will ask that person, what's more important, the chinuch of your children or to save a dollar on an airline ticket? He said, "What, are you crazy? Of course the chinuch of my children." Yeah. We're talking about normal mention. And then lemaisa, somehow, because that's what it is. We live in this world. And there's something else to it also. Things that we can do and do easily, we have a tendency to do. Things that are complicated, things that are troublesome, things that involve other people, things that are not easy to fix, we have a desire to be blind to them. To push them under the rug, to ignore them. Maybe the problem will go away by itself. Maybe time will take care of it. So that's also a chelik of it. It's psychological as well. But the bottom line is that we are made of gashmius, and it's very hard for us to escape.
Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven Lamaisa were choshev. And in the end, they did the right thing. How could they have fallen into that trap? And the Teret says, I'll tell you what it is. Why do they want to stay in Eva Hayarding altogether? Why don't they want to go with everybody else? And there is no shaila that ultimately the kedusha of what's on the beyond them in the Eber Hayardin Chelek that has Yushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash, there's no question that it has greater kedusha. Then why shouldn't they want to be connected to that? You know what the answer is? Because they saw this lavish land and a light bulb went off inside their heads that this is the place. Here, with all that we have, we can be matzliach. And that blinded them to any other consideration. Since that was where they were coming from psychologically and emotionally, in their pitch, in their attempt to achieve their goal of staying here and talking to Moshe Rabbeinu for that purpose, their mindset was geared to the Gidreis Tzayin. And they forgot for a moment that the Iker is the children. And I want you to know that people make this mistake all the time. I have a person in the shul, and you know, it's interesting. One should think that that should be a natural inclination. But obviously he's a tzaddik yisoid olam, because most people do not think like that at all. He sends me an email. He's spoken to me about this many times. But he sends me an email. He says, do you know anyone who could get me a similar job in Connecticut, in New Jersey, anywhere, but not Manhattan? He cannot stand working in Manhattan because of the pritzus, because of the tznius problems that he encounters. It's pile ploy. A person should have such a hasaga, but we think that's extraordinary. And it is extraordinary. Because usually when you're looking for a job, you're looking for the best benefits, for the health plan. You're looking for... That's what you're looking for. The same thing, somebody came to New York from Baal Tshuva, from out of town. And he ended up in my Dalet Amos. And he started working as an intern in a hospital. And he says to me, I have a very big problem. He says, there are three other interns. None of them are from. And everyone is beautiful. And they happen to be women. So what am I supposed to do? This office and this office and this. So another person would think that's Gan Eden. But if you're an Erlich Yid and you gave up all of that nonsense to become an Erlich Yid, your mind and your heart are headed in a different direction. And for such a person, it's a tzara. You understand? What for another human being would be Gan Eden here on earth, and for the Muslims even in heaven, for him, it's a tzara gedoyla. You know what the Eibishter did for him? They gave him an office in a vinkel, and 2 days later, two from men came and said, and he's mamish thrilled out of his wits. He doesn't have to have anything to do with that. But you see my point, it's all a matter of perspective. And what you want and what you desire and what you daven for, that's what you're going to mention and that's what you're going to talk about. So when the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven came and they wanted Gidreis Tzayin, because that's why they're talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, they were so busy with the Gidreis Tzayin that they lost the perspective that they themselves may have had it in a different occasion. It could be if they were going for a bracha to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, they would not be asking first for Parnassah. Maybe they would ask for children. But here in this context, they were completely out of that conception, which always has to be in the foreground. No matter what you're asking for, the children come first, and their chinuch comes first, and their adrocha comes first. And I would always go one step further. Since they knew that this is a difficult request, and maybe they should be asking to come v'dafka into Eretz Yisrael, and not stay here, so you end up, you understand, your negiah sometimes makes you mention something, and sometimes your negiah, it's even more. It makes you want to deny the virtue of what you're not emphasizing. Because why should you be so callous to Eretz Yisrael? Why should you be so gashmiistic? Where's your ruchnius? So the mind plays tricks on you, and it changes the balance.
it changes the picture, so you're not so bad. We need Gidrois Tzayin. Look at all our mikneh. So that goes to the foreground, and the rest is already swept under the rug. That's why they said what they said. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't let them get away with it, though. When he tells them that Tznai B'nai God of Bnei Reuven, all the halachas that are about Tznai B'nai God of Bnei Reuven, Tznai Kofel, Hein Kodem Olav, B'chulu B'chulu, he tells them, listen, never mind all the details of Tznai, all the technicalities. You made a terrible mistake when you said Gidrois Tzayin before your children. Let's fix it first. B'nu Lochem Arim L'tavchem. The children come first. And that's what you have to emphasize. Don't get lost. Don't get lost because the money is blinding you. That's what it says over here. I just want to finish with one more ha'ara. We spoke about how sometimes money and power and covet can be negative for Yavodas Hashem. Ibe'emes, I've learned this perik in the Rambam so many times that if you pressed my nose in the middle of my sleep, I would be able to tell it to you Baal Peh, and it has nothing to do with Kishrin. It's like people saying Ashrei. And when you learn something once or twice, you see it, you understand it, but it doesn't enter into your kishkes yet. When you learn something 500 times or 1,000 times, eventually it's so much part of who you are that you see it in a different way all of a sudden. And I've been preoccupied. I have to use that word. I've been preoccupied. I've been obsessed with the presentation of the Rambam of what requires for Limud HaTorah on the highest level. And it's crystal clear from the Rambam that Torah demands a Mesiras Nefesh, which we hardly understand anymore. And I might even add Baruch Hashem on some level. Because even the person who's worst off is not eating Pas Bamelech, Mayim B'Mesura, is not Yoshin Al Ha'aretz. Nobody is Yoshin Al Ha'aretz. Even in Eretz Yisrael, nobody's Yoshin Al Ha'aretz anymore. All those stories about the poverty and the Chnosis Arachim, where everybody had to leave and everybody slept on the floor, and they slept on the floor even when nobody was a guest, because they had not more children. I mean, all those stories are falling away. Everybody has a kitchen, and everybody has an oven, and everybody has a laundry, and everybody has, it's a Nandazach and Gans. And people have beds. They may have beds that are stacked one on top of the other. They may have beds all in every corner. But they have beds. It's a Nandazach. It's a Givon and Gans and Nandazach. But one thing you see in the Rambam that is really critical. What happens if a person can afford all of these things? What happens if they can afford a life of luxury and of plenty, a life of substance in covered, a life of substance and food on the table? You have an example, and you say, I have a perfect example, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had a table that Tznayim v'Chazeres did not leave the table, not be Yisakama, not be Meisak Shaman. It could be imported. And he sat with Antoninus, and they had chairs of gold and silver. I mean, listen. It says in the Gemara that he made a chasana, that even one of the Tanoim was upset, didn't want to come to the chasana. It was such a wealthy chasana. Wealthy chasana. What's the pshat in all of that? But we also know, and we should never forget, that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said that he left this world, and he was not nana from this world, even like this much. So what's the pshat? So you know, there was a Rebbe that was the Rebbe of a huge swath of extremely poor Hasidim. You know who I'm talking about? Rabbi Yisrael of Rezhin. And the Rezhiner used to go in gold buckled shoes and in a carriage with white horses. And the soles on the shoes were missing, so he would cut his feet on the hard rock below. But what did the Olam see? Malchus! And it gave them courage. And it lifted up their spirits. Because they were so oppressed and they were so damaged by the Tsars and the Russians. In this vein, the Nasi has to have Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. But in all of this, there was a gap that was never bridged between Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and the Oysher and the covet of that Nasir.
And the reason is because you cannot be a master of Torah otherwise. To be the Sar HaTorah, that is the foundation of Torah Shebaal Peh forever and ever. The Mishnah. And that's what the Rambam emphasizes. But I noticed in the Rambam, Amayu Digazach, the Rambam talks about poverty twice. Not once. Once he talks about it, if you have a Havami, that you're going to be Mekayim this mitzvah properly and achieve Keser Torah, take a look on Halacha Vav and Talmud Torah Perigimel. Mishinasol libo lekayim mitzvah zukaroi v'liyos muchtar bekeser Torah lo yasiach daitoy l'dvarim acherim. He can't think about anything else. He has to immerse himself ach v'rak in Torah v'lo yosim aliboy, and he should not imagine sheyikne Torah im oishav akovod ke'achas. You are not allowed to even have a havamina, not even a thought that you'll acquire both. It's a gotten salite, as they say. I'll acquire both. I'll have Aisha b'chavad, and I'll also be a big Talmud Chacham. And then he adds, famous Chazal, Tachi Daka Shal Torah, Pas Bamelech Toichal, Mayim Bamesura Tishta, right? Aloritz Tishan, V'chaye Sa'ar Tichya. Now the truth is that when Rav Meir Shapiro founded the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, he had this incredible binyan. Reminds me of the Novominska binyan on 17th Avenue over there and 60th Street. He had such a binyan with a dormitory with maid service to do the laundry. You heard that, Maisa? Maid service to do the laundry. He came once to one of the Gevirim for a big nedava, and he says, I don't hold of your whole derech. He says, what do you mean? He says, it's against the Mishnah Novus. It says, Kachi Darka Shal Torah, Pasva Melech Toichal, Mayim Sur Tishtal, or it's Tishon, Chayitzar Tichya, look what you're doing. He says, that's how you read the Mishnah? He says, how do you read the Mishnah? He says, Kachi Darka Shal Torah, Pasva Melech Toichal, Mayim Sur Tishtal, or it's Tishon, Chayitzar Tichya. So I don't understand that story. I mean, that's what I heard. I heard that story. You know, as a sales pitch, it's pretty good. We know that Rav Meir Shapiro was very sharp. There are a lot of stories like that. Aber lemaisa ein harambam v'hamishnah yoytzim midei pshuta. The Rambam says it very simple. And he says, furthermore, at the very end of the halacha v'haschar l'fi hatzar l'fum tzara. In other words, if you have ideas about Oysher and Mammon, if you have ideas about you'll be zeichet to the Gashmius of this world, you know, people get married and they have a lot of Torah in them, and they and their parents think that they deserve a Meiridik, a good Shidduch. What is the definition of a Meiridik, a good Shidduch? A wealthy family, where they'll have support for the rest of their lives. What is support? Support doesn't mean living in a small apartment and you don't have to pay the rent yourself. And having kest so that you don't have to pay for the food yourself. Support means right away a fancy car and a luxurious home, which the parents themselves never saw in their lives. They're already giving to their children who are 25 years old. And every possible fancy dress and clothing, and when the baby's born, how can you not buy that latest stroller? The latest stroller, is everyone seated? $1,000, Rabbi said. Nothing but the best for my little Talmud Chacham over there. Sitting and learning by Smadatum. So the Rambam says that this is not possible. And when the Rambam says it's not possible, it's very scary, because the Rambam, you know, it's the Rambam. You're not talking about, you know, some darshan like me, you know, getting excited. This is the Rambam. And when the Rambam says something, you know, you perk up your ears and you say, wait a minute, so what's going to be with us? And then this is, it's not so poshut. So everybody's, where are our gedolim? Where are our gedolim? There's so much Torah. All right, there is taka, tremendous amount of Torah. And the Nisayan today is so nerve oyam, maybe we even need that. I'm not even saying anything. I'm not condemning it. I'm just telling you it's not this Rambam. But there's another Rambam, and that's even worse. Even more frightening, I mean. The Rambam says, Halacha Yud Beis, and then we'll stop. Ein divrei Torah miskayimim b'misha mar pa'atzmei aleihem. Torah is not going to be preserved in a vessel that is lackadaisical, that is uncaring, is not on fire. Mar pa'atzmei, rifyoyim, rafa. Rafa means weak, soft. He has to be determined, strong. Mar pa'atzmo is the opposite. You cannot live a life of luxury and a life of indulgence and expect to preserve your Torah. What do you mean Gufay? What is Mitzayer Gufay? Mitzayer Gufay doesn't mean he puts his hand into a fire. It means he deprives himself from all these pleasures, even if he can afford them. The word af means even, but in this particular context it means af, anger. It doesn't mean anger, it means deprivation, suffering. When things were going against me, when the world was like it was angry at me, I had a bad mazel, I had difficult circumstances, and still I learned Torah. He amdali, it's after that Torah that is preserved for me. What in the world is the connection between the last part of the Rambam and the beginning of the Rambam? Now the Teretz Rabbi say is a different question. The Rambam already told me earlier in the Halach of Avda that we learned a few seconds ago that you have to live a life of tzar and aschar lefi hatzar. Why did the Rambam repeat himself over here? Now the Teretz says he's not repeating himself at all. He's telling you a meiridik yisayit. In the lifestyle, in my orientation, in my vision of learning, that's halacha vav. You cannot imagine at the outset of your learning that you're going to do everything. You're going to accomplish the impossible. You're going to achieve the gashmias of this world, and you'll be a Talmud Chacham just the same. If a person has such a machshava, he'll never be zoichet to ketzer Torah. That's what the Rambam says. Now we're talking about a person. He didn't have that terrible, negative, and unproductive vision. He had the right thought. And he attacked Torah, and he went into Torah with the idea that he's going to become a Talmud Chacham, and that's it. Now he has been successful, and he's mastered Oitzris of Torah, which he knows thoroughly, and Baal Peh. Now he says, you know what? I can ease up a little bit. Now I can begin to enjoy life a little bit. Now I can begin to have a little Olam Hazeh in my life. And the Rambam says, no, because preserving the Torah that you have also requires such a life. It's a remarkable that the Metzius does not allow you that Metzius of eating and drinking and sleeping like everybody else. And that's why the Rambam connected Chelek Aleph to Chelek Beis. He says there are other things that make you forget Torah. And I'll mention them too. But the main thing that makes a person forget Torah is a life of indulgence. So it isn't just the vision that got you there. It's to preserve the Torah you already have. So at the age of 40 and 50 and 60 and 70, he can never give up. He always has to have that tenacity and that aggression against Olam Hazeh to keep it at bay and to push away and say, my Dalet Amos is Torah and nothing but Torah. That is an extremely high madrega and an extraordinary commitment. Lav kol adam zeicha lekach. And that is, says the Rambam, is the one and only way. He does not give you alternatives. That you could reach the madrega where it's called keser. And that's what I wanted to share with you. B'nagei arich yom bimino. What's the connection? It's the pashut. It's really what the Akedas Yitzchak was saying. If you have Oishe b'chavot as a consequence, nishkefelach. Providing that you keep it at bay. If, however, Oishe b'chavot becomes your goal, then the whole enterprise is distorted, corrupted, and eventually destroyed. And that's why, as much as we ask for Chayim Shel Oishe b'chavot, the Rambam keeps popping up into my face. It keeps popping up into my face and says, Abba, that's not your agenda. That's not my children's agenda. And so on and so forth. And Einoch Hanami. If you train your child, you know who the best shidduch is? A girl that grew up in poverty and who knows that her father and her brothers love learning Torah. That's the best shidduch. Because no matter what will happen, Baruch Shalom takes care. But no matter what will happen, they will not veer from the course. A person who's used to all sorts of luxuries and pleasures, it's unlikely. Don't bring me any rayas from Rachel Eishes Rebbe Akiva, because Rachel is one in the world. But b'derech klal, they're unlikely to stay the course. Unless they're bali tshuva. You know, you can be a frum bal tshuva also. You can be an FFB and a BT. It's not a stira. You grow up in a certain environment and you say, that's not for me. I see things different. The truth of the matter is, everybody should be that kind of bal tshuva. We have this crazy idea that bal tshuva means somebody wasn't from and became from. All of Yom Kippur is saying, are you a bal tshuva? Every day is asking, are you a bal tshuva? This vision is possible for a wealthy girl if she changes, if she revises the script of her life. But if she goes on the same path, but she says Torah is the best Torah, and it's a great bargain, it's a wonderful thing, and it's Aisha Bechav, it's a Zaman, forget about it. That's not going to be the wife that, when push comes to shove, is going to... And not only that, the desire for all these material things will create an environment where it's almost impossible to preserve the Torah. So if somebody is interested in my advice, I would say that if you have a choice, go for the daughter of an extremely successful Talmud Chacham in Limud HaTorah. Somebody who loves Torah, has mastered Torah, and is enamored with the activity of learning. And she sees a happy Talmud Chacham for a father.